I gotta follow that dream to find the love I need.
93 WIBC, it's the Kendall and Casey Show. I'm Rob. Casey's here, and oh, look who it is.
He's wearing a jacket today.
He is an attorney at law. He's a broadcaster. He's a provocateur.
And I think about buying some cowboy boots.
Why? Why would you buy cowboy boots?
Blazing Saddles.
Oh, is that what you're going as for Halloween this year?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Sure.
Don't wear it with the jacket. You need like a Western shirt.
I have an older brown vest.
Oh, okay.
Now, we were talking about this on State House Happenings, which soon be posted up at WIBC.com for the week. You require your kids, your students at college, which you're a professor, to watch Blazing Saddles every single year.
Yes, I teach a mass media class at the University of Indianapolis, and one of the first things we do, after we do all the introduction, I'll go through all the syllabus, like, okay, guys, why don't you go find a streaming service, and I want you to watch the movie Blazing Saddles. And they're like, what's that? It's like, well, it's the funniest yet most offensive film that has ever been made. And you'll appreciate it, because number one, they make fun of everybody like the first 10 minutes. Nothing is off limits. But number two, more importantly, you can see how movies were made back then, and also the context, what was going on. But also, think about this. If you're going to go in the media business, you better have some thick skin, and you better not offend easily.
You ever get any blowback from either parents or the students? Because let's face it, you are about one of the only people in the world who could require people to watch that and get away with that.
Actually, the parents are like, wow, oh my God, I love your professor. Because a lot of the kids will watch with their dad, like, what do you watch? Like Blazing Saddles? Like, who told you to watch this? My professor's like, I like that guy.
Yeah.
All right. So somebody who is not beloved by everyone is our old buddy Diego Morales. And James Briggs from the Indy Star had a big expose yesterday calling into question big parts of Diego's military service. You had posed this question offline months ago. What's going on?
What Briggs wrote in his column, he said that Diego's military record wasn't necessarily bad. It was confusing because he couldn't quite figure, okay, when did you start? When did you finish? Did you complete your entire time? Because there are a couple forms you have to have that you get when you serve. And what was on some of the forms was inconsistent with what he stated publicly. Now, my concern about Diego is when I saw his campaign ad, like just like months ago, when he's got the military uniform on, like, and there was no disclaimer. That disclaimer that says, no, this is not endorsed by the U.S. Army or U.S. military.
They're required to do that? Is that a deal?
I think so. Yeah, I think you have to do that.
Because you don't want the people, the perception being the U.S. military endorses
right.
candidates, Democrat, Republican, whatever.
Yeah, so that was kind of point number one. Point number two was he was in some Army military fatigues, and he had the hat on, and there was no rank on the hat, which I thought was kind of...
So it could have been purchased at the Salvation Army.
Yeah, or yeah, exactly. You know, or Halloween costume. So it was kind of hard to tell, like, okay, what's going on here? And then the one thing that just really just made me sort of scratch my head was there's a scene in an ad where he's like in a schoolyard. He's wearing like a flight bomber jacket, and he's saluting the American flag. It was a very Orwellian 1984-esque type picture. I'm like, what, dude, what the?
Well, and so the reason the Briggs article is important, because some people were upset, saying, well, you're promoting Indy Star and blah, 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 and they're super liberal, and that's true. But it's another question about a guy who almost everything, there's a giant question about whether, you know, from his work record on down, there's almost nothing about this guy that you don't go, man, that I really have questions about that.
Yeah, whether it was his work record at the Secretary of State's office both times, whether it was the $43,000 vehicle that he wrote, whether it's Diego's military service, changing his position on early voting, it's question after question after question after question. And then you just got to wonder, unless you're like a hardcore, if you're hardcore R, you're voting for Diego regardless, none of this matters. If you're hardcore D, you're not voting for him. But if you're those people in the middle, which is getting bigger and bigger every day, you just got to wonder, like, at what point is enough enough? Like, I don't want to be bothered, which is why if I ever ran for public office, the first thing I'd do is I'd hire a private investigator, go investigate my past, go find out every dirt, evil thing I've ever was stupid enough to actually let get out in public. And thank God there was no social media back in 1992 when I was in college.
Abdul is our guest. We're talking about this new expose James Briggs had in Indy Star about Diego Morales, the Republican candidate for Secretary of State. Look, it's all fair game, right? Because nobody held a gun to Diego's head. Nobody forced him to run for public office. It's probably the second most important office in the entire state. So you're your work record, your military past, especially things that you make cores of your campaign, should absolutely be fair game. And the fact, I think the fact that was interesting was in the article. So Briggs reaches out to, what's the guy's name? Keegan Prentice, yeah. I think is his name, the campaign manager. And if you were in the, I'm going for my own approach. If you were in the military, wouldn't you invite James Briggs over for a cold beverage and say, would you like to talk for 10 hours about my time serving my country? How much paperwork would you like? Here's the medals. Here's the photos. Here's the forms. You know, you could have not only turned to what has become a big deep dive and raising questions about his military record. You could have totally turned that entire story and gone, wow, this guy really served his country faithfully and actually made people probably vote for you.
Exactly. But and once again, also, too, keep in mind that we did not make this an issue. Diego made an issue.
By not debating.
By not debating. Number two, by saying, hey, I'm the only veteran in the race. Like, well, no, you're not, because Destiny Wells is also a veteran. But you brought it up. And so if you bring it up, you opened that door.
Right.
And so now it's fair game.
Let's talk about it.
Yeah. That's why I said you should have hired a private investigator, go look for every inconsistency in your background, mm-hmm. and put together a response and have an answer for it. So that way when this stuff comes up, like, well, there's an explanation for it, blah, 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 blah.
Diego's our guest. Abdul is our guest.
Diego won't be our guest
anymore.
No,
I'm sure Diego will not be here.
He was at one point.
Let's real quick talk about Jim Brainerd, the mayor of Carmel, obviously stepping down. You and I got into this, or will be stepping down at the end of his term, I should say. You and I got into this on State House Happenings. I think Jim Brainerd, whether you like him or you don't, is one of the most important figures in Indiana politics today and government today, because next to Indianapolis, he has built Carmel into probably the second most powerful municipal entity in the entire state. I include Fort Wayne in that conversation. This is a big deal.
Yes, because Jim Brainerd was doing economic redevelopment long before the surrounding donut counties were. And whether you like Jim or not, Jim understood that it's quality of life that will attract people, attract jobs, and attract talent. So that's why they built the Platinum. That's why they built the bike trails and the roads and all the roundabouts and everything. Because, number one, that's how they grew, from 50,000 people back in the early 90s to almost 100,000 people today. They offer those amenities. Now, you can argue, you know, should the government be paying for this or paying for this? Well, obviously, they've had the debate in Carmel six times.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And he's been reelected six times. So mm-hmm. apparently the people of Carmel are at the very least content with it.
Yeah, and Brainerd's an interesting figure because, look, I don't have to live in Carmel. I'm very grateful for that. It's not for me. The everything has to look a certain way crowd, not for me. But if you like that, if you want that, you can live there. And for us in this business, Casey, yourself, me, he's a conversation starter, because that is a great debate that Brainerd has been a central figure of how much in local government should the government be involved in.
Exactly. And another thing, too, that I thought was interesting, and you and I, we talked about this on State House Happenings, we're going to have this conversation sometime down the road, is the county option income tax. It goes not to the county. It doesn't say the county where you work. It goes back to the county where you live. So a lot of people who live in Carmel, Hamilton County, who work in Indianapolis, and so when they pay their county option income tax, that money goes back to their respective municipalities, which is how Carmel's been able to sort of finance everything. Because I believe the county option income tax should stay in the place where it's earned, not where, mm-hmm. not where you live. But if you do that, then that's going to cause a big – that's going to really mess things – I'll take that back. I won't say it'll mess things up in Indiana, but it'll totally change the way the local government is funded, because it'll benefit the bigger cities, the bigger places, and it'll hurt the suburbs and almost kill the rural areas.
This is like – go ahead, Casey. Sorry.
I was going to ask Abdul if he knows, with Brainerd leaving, who will fill that spot.
Right now, I want to say there are like six people. Sue Finkham's thinking about running.
Oh,
Laura Conway's thinking about running. There are a couple Democrats.
What? Why are you laughing at me?
I don't know.
There are a couple Democrats who are thinking about running. I put all this on indypolitics.org because I wrote about the story the day before that Monday when I found out he was going to be stepping down. So, mm-hmm.
Do you think Carmel, and we'll get you out here on this, do you think Carmel will now, because conservatives for years have tried to get Brainerd, for lack of a better term. He's been a super powerful entity. They haven't been able to. Do you think Carmel will continue the Brainerd path, a Brainerd-esque person, or will conservatives finally be able to get their act together and get somebody in to run the city of Carmel?
I think Carmel's redevelopment efforts will probably slow down a bit, but they won't stop because apparently it's working.
What's coming up this Saturday? Do you work
actually,
this Saturday?
Actually, IU football is
What do you do around here?
That's a very good question.
The one and only Abdullah Keep Shabazz. Thank you, my friend.
Thank you.
93 WIBC, it's Kendall and Casey Show.